Acts chapter 27. Those of you that are familiar with the book of Acts know that in this chapter, it describes the trip that Paul made to Rome. He was going to stand before Caesar on trial, not because of anything wrong that he did, but because he preached Jesus. The Jews wanted to kill him, and the only way that he could escape from that death was to appeal as a Roman citizen to Caesar. And so Festus, who was the Roman governor at that time, put him on a ship and sent him to Rome. Before they started out, Paul said, he warned them, he said in verse 10 of that chapter, and he said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. He says, I'm just going to tell you before we start, we're headed into danger. There's the ship's going to be in trouble, the cargo is going to be in trouble, and our lives are going to be in jeopardy. And in verse 11 it says, now the centurion believed the master and owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul, and because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phinis and there to winter, which is in haven of Crete and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. The owner of the ship, the captain of the ship, came to the one that was in charge of the prisoner and said, hey, don't listen to that preacher. What does he know about sailing? I mean, what does he know about the sea? What does he know about the worthiness of this boat that I have? He don't know nothing. Well, Paul may have not known anything about sailing. He may not know anything about the boat, but he knew the God that controlled the sea. And when Paul said, we're in danger, don't leave, they should have just stayed right where they were. But they took a vote, and the majority said, no, we don't like it here. We want to get someplace better. And so they took off on this ill-fated voyage that was going to end in shipwreck. You know, it's amazing to me that people today still don't listen to people of God. It's amazing to me that people will go to ungodly people, and we're warned about that in Psalm chapter 1, that will go to ungodly people and take advice, and they'll believe counselors and psychologists and other advisors that they have that may not know anything about God or about this book. And I will just, it's not part of my sermon this morning, I'll just throw it in for nothing, so to speak. You'd be better off to go to people of God that know this book, that stay in this book, to get your advice than you would to go to people that don't have anything to do with God. And I don't care what area of life it's talking about. You might say, well, I agree with you on spiritual things, but in my mind, there's no difference between the spiritual and the carnal. I mean, I need to be spiritual as I live my life out in that world. And I don't try to make a difference when I think about it. I mean, there's enough in this book that will teach me how to do my job and teach me how to be a husband and teach me how to be a father, teach me how to conduct myself in this old world. I don't need some ungodly person telling me how to do it. I need God to tell me how to do it. And we'd be a lot better off if we'd listen to Him as opposed to people that think they know more about it. There may be people that know more about investments. There may be people that know more about banking. There may be people that know more about your car. And I would just advise you, don't listen to me if I give you any advice about your car. I mean, I think I proved that last week. But listen, the people that stay in this book know the God that knows the future, and that's more important than knowing anything else. So listen to people of God that stay in this book. They didn't listen to Paul. And they got into the middle of a storm, a hurricane. They named them back then as well. And it says in verse 20, the verse before where we started, it says, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, so in many days, no sun, no stars, and no small tempest lay upon us. In other words, there was a big tempest. There was a storm. All hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Here, I want you to notice that last phrase. All hope that we should be saved was then taken away. They were in this hurricane. You go down and read it. I think Paul said there was let me see if I can find it. Yeah, in verse 33, he says, this day is the 14th day. 2 full weeks they were in this hurricane. They couldn't see the sun. They couldn't see the stars. They were rolled back and forth in this storm. And the Bible says all hope that they should be saved was taken away. And so Paul goes away for a while. Now, I think he's down on deck praying. I think he's talking to God. I think he's begging God. I think he's asking God to spare his life and the life of the others in the ship. And after long abstinence, we read there in verse 21, Paul stood up and he said, "Hey, can I have your attention for a minute? I want to tell you something. God sent an angel to speak to me tonight, and the angel said, hey, you're going to lose the ship, but Paul, you're going to get to Rome, and so is every single person on that boat." There was 216 of them altogether, if you go down and read the last verse in the chapter, or toward the last of the chapter. God says, sent an angel and said, "I'm going to save all 216 of you. The boat's going to be destroyed. The ship is going to be wrecked. But I'm going to save everybody in the ship." And here's what Paul said. "Why don't you just go ahead and cheer up? You've lost your hope. You don't think there's any way out of this storm. You think you're just going to die. Your life is going to end." Paul says, "Cheer up. Get back your hope. Because I heard from God tonight. I heard from," and maybe it wasn't night, maybe it was day. "I heard from God. I got a visit from an angel of God. And he says that he's going to save us." So Paul says, "Cheer up, because I believe God is going to do exactly what he said he will do." Now, my message this morning is real simple. A one-line message. And it's going to take me a while to say it, but a one-line message. And I have the same message for you this morning that Paul had for the people on that boat. Cheer up. I believe God is going to do exactly what he said he would do. Now, I know there's some of you in the middle of a storm this morning. Some of you are going through some things that maybe nobody else knows about it but you, your spouse, maybe your family. I mean, there is sickness. There are people that are trying to get over the loss of a loved one. There are people with financial problems. There are people in this room this morning. You may be getting close to losing your hope. You may be getting close to getting down to the bottom of that hole where you look up and you can't even see the sun anymore. You may be getting to the point in your life and the things that's going on in your life and you say, "I just don't know what I'm going to do. I just don't know the next step I'm going to take." I want to tell you this morning, I've heard from God. I believe God is going to do what he says he was going to do. And this morning I say to you, take hope. Cheer up. God said some pretty good things. It is no secret what he can do, what he's done for others. He'll do for us too. And so this morning, if you're about to give up, if you don't think there's any way out of the situation you're in, this morning I want to say to you, there is, because there is a God in heaven that still works. He can still get us out of the storms of life. There may be some things destroyed along the way, but they don't amount to anything anyway. Just like the ship didn't amount to anything. It was the people in that ship that were important. And the people in this room this morning are important to God. And this morning I say to you, cheer up. Take hope. God's told me some things, and I believe he's going to do exactly what he says he was going to do. You say, "What has he told you, Brother Darrell?" I'm glad you ask, because there's three things I'm going to mention this morning that he's told me. Number one, he's told me that we can all go to heaven. He told me that we can all go to heaven. Now, I know the Bible says that we're all sinners. Romans 3:10, there's none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I know the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. It says that in Romans 6:23. But God's told me that there's a way that we can all go to heaven, even though what we deserve, all of us, is hell. Because when we were sinners, God loved us enough to send Jesus to die in our place. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth or proved his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And the Bible says that if we'll receive that gift that God gives us, we can go to heaven. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son,
that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
You discouraged this morning? You don't know what to do next? Let me remind you that you have the opportunity to go to heaven.
Let me remind you this morning that you have a God who paid for all your sins on Calvary. Let me remind you this morning that that gift of salvation is available to every single person in this room. It doesn't matter how much money you got. It doesn't matter what kind of house you live in. It doesn't matter what kind of car you drive. It doesn't matter what kind of sinner you are. Brother Wendell sings that song. It doesn't matter what kind of, I don't know what kind of sinner you are. I know what kind of God we got. And he can forgive every sin and will forgive every sin and cover every sin under the blood of Jesus Christ. It's available to all. That's why that verse says, whosoever. For whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you know this morning, you are a whosoever. Every single person in this room this morning is a whosoever. That gift of salvation is made available to every single one of us. The other thing that cheers me up about that is I don't have to pay for it. It's free. It's a gift. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I've often thought, if you could put a price on salvation, who could pay for it? Bill Gates couldn't. Warren Buffett couldn't. The Rockefellers, the Waltons, that's about all the rich people I know. They couldn't pay for it. They don't have enough money. If those folks don't have enough money, you can sure bet that I don't have enough money, and I can sure bet that you don't have enough money. We cannot pay for salvation. It is a precious, unpriceable gift from God. And because it's unpriceable, don't you try to pay for it, because you cannot pay for it. It is a gift of God, freely given to every single person that will take it. And it lasts forever. It lasts forever.
I read a little story this week about a guy that decided he was going to be a rodeo rider. He was going to break horses. And he says, there's no use for me to practice. I think I've been given this ability. I'm just going to go into the rodeo, and I'm going to hang on to that horse. So they got that pin, they put the wild horse in there, and they got this guy strapped onto this horse, and they opened the gate, and the horse went out and started bucking, and all this other stuff, and he was hanging on. He made it for 8 seconds. 8 seconds. When they interviewed him after the ride, he said this: that's the longest 8 seconds I've ever spent in my life. I know there are days that some of you have experienced lately where you've said, and maybe it was just an hour, maybe it was just 2 hours. This is the longest hour. It's the longest day that I've ever spent in my life because of the heartache and the trial that you're going through. Was it longer than a 24-hour day? No. Just seemed longer. And we're in the midst of our trials and our heartaches. We think they're going to last forever. There's no hope. But I'll tell you something. We as human beings cannot make anything that's eternal. Everything we make has a lifespan. Everything we make has an end. Terry has an old car. He may think that car is going to last forever. It's not. It's going to fall apart. Some of you have antiques in your house. You say, oh, this has lasted 100 years. This is going to last forever. No, it won't. No, it won't. The only person that can make an eternal thing is somebody that's eternal. The only person that can make something that lasts everlasting is somebody that is everlasting himself. and the only eternal, everlasting person, God I know, is God, is Jesus, is the Holy Spirit. They are eternal. And so I know when we get in the middle of a trial, we think it's going to last forever. But I'll just ask you this morning, take hope. Cheer up. Be of good cheer. Because we get a chance to go to heaven, and heaven is going to last forever. There is going to be no end to heaven. We sang Amazing Grace this morning. Every time we sing that last verse, I think about how long heaven's going to last. When we've been there 10,000 years, our nation is just a little bit over 2,000 years old. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright, shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first began. You spend 10,000 years in heaven, you haven't even started yet. I mean, it's like you haven't even started yet when you spend 10,000 years in heaven. It's going to last forever. Amen. Be of good cheer. God spoke to me. He said, every single person has the opportunity to go to heaven. You have the opportunity to go to heaven. It's not going to cost you anything. And it's going to last forever. God told me something else. He told me this. He has a plan for our life. Every single person in this room, God has a plan for our life. That's what He made us for. Some people think, well, we were born, God had to figure out something for us to do. That's not the way it works. God needed something to be done, so He made you. God needed a job to be done, so He made you. God needed somebody to reach somebody else with the gospel, so He made you. God needed somebody to do something in the church, so He made you. God needed somebody to be a dad to your children or a mother to your children, so He made you. Or He needed a grandpa and a grandma, so He made you. Or He needed an aunt or an uncle that would stand for God and point a niece or a nephew to God, so He made you. There's no person in this room that was not born without a plan of God. Every single person that's here today, God has a perfect will, plan, road, race, however you want to say it, for your life. And that's why you're here. You're not an accident. There are no accidents with God. There's no uh-oh babies with God. I don't have time. That's why I'll continue to the day I die saying abortion is murder. I don't care how we dress it up. I don't care what we call it. It is taking a precious life that God has a plan for, that God made, that God ordained. And when we put ourselves in the place of God, it's nothing but trouble. He has a plan for every single one of us. You say, Brother Darrell, God's plan for my life must have gone astray. No. God may have to make alterations in that plan. He may have to change it depending on how obedient we are. He may have to tweak it a little bit depending on if we're going to be stubborn or not. But there's no Christian that's here this morning that God plan for your life has gone amok. He's still got a plan. The question is, are we going to be obedient or not? Hebrews, I got it written down, Gene, so now I remember. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we are surrounded with this great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. God has a race that He wants you to run. And I don't know about you, but when I think that the God who made the heavens, the God who made the earth and everything that's in it, the God that holds it all together, has a plan for my life, how overwhelming it is. How overwhelming. The one that put every stars in place and knows every one of their names made me and has a plan for my life, and made you and has a plan for your life. The one that made all the planets. You know, we've had this big debate. Should Pluto be a planet or not? Who cares? It's something out there that God made. And he holds it in place. We can call it a planet or we can call it a star. We can call it anything we want. It doesn't make any difference. God knows it's there and God knows its name. And God had a purpose for making it, just like he has a purpose for you. And sometimes we get in the middle of trouble and we forget. Sometimes when we struggle in our lives, we forget that the omnipotent, all omniscient God has a plan for our lives. Has a plan for your life. Has a plan for my life. As an individual, the creator and sustainer of the universe. Listen to me. Get this truth into your head and into your heart. The creator and the sustainer of the universe made you and made me and has a plan for our life. Say, Brother Darrell, I'm old. Well, what do you think I am? I'm 55 years old. I know some of you have a few years on me, but not many. Not many. He doesn't, listen to me. God's plan doesn't end when you get 55. That's why the Bible says there is no discharge in this war. Hey, it doesn't end. I know some of you have retired, and I'm looking forward to being able to retire. But I tell you what, God's plan for my life doesn't include retirement. Sorry, it doesn't work that way, Reg. It doesn't include retirement. He's got a plan for you, and he's got a plan for the littlest one that's in the nursery, and everybody in between. And I don't know if, Reg, I'm sorry, I don't know if you're the oldest or not, but you sort of look like you might be. Anyhow, from the oldest to the youngest, I don't care, and everybody in between, God's plan has a plan for you. Find out what it is and get busy doing it. You want to know how to get over your doldrums? You want to know how to have joy and cheer in your life? You want to know how to have hope back if you've lost your hope? Find out what God wants you to do and get busy doing it. Get busy doing it. I heard from God. He said, cheer up. Get your hope back. You can go to heaven. I have a plan for your life. And number three, in that plan, I'll make sure that everything works together for good. You don't need to worry about it. I'll make sure that everything in that plan works together for good. Now, here's what we do. We divide things up between the good and the bad. If I get sick, that's bad. If I stay well, that's good. If I keep my job, that's good. If I lose my job, that's bad. I mean, that's what we do. We put things in category. Good, bad. And God says, oh no, you got it all wrong. I'm going to work everything together for good. There may be some bad things that happen in your life, but you need that. I mean, I'm going to put them all together, and I'm going to make it into something that when you get to the end and look back at it, you're going to say, boy, that sure was good. I can remember the first time I was over at my grandma's. I always loved to go over there when she was baking cakes and cookies, cakes especially, because she would always let me lick the beaters and scrape the bowl. If you haven't done that, well, never mind. But I would get to lick the beaters and scrape the bowl and just all that good stuff. I remember the first time she made cornbread. I was a little kid, and I didn't know the difference between cornbread and cake. So I said, Grandma, I'd like to lick the bowl. She said, I don't think you'd like what's in this bowl. She said, oh, no, I was a politician back then. Everything you make is good, Grandma. I'd like to lick the bowl. She says, I don't think you'll like to lick the bowl. Now, this same grandma that told me grapefruit juice would be good for me. I hate this stuff. I said, now, Grandma, anything you make is good. I'd like to lick the bowl. She said, okay. So I stuck my finger down in that bowl, put it in my mouth, had to go outside and spit.
It was terrible. Terrible. So we sat down an hour or so later, 30 minutes later. She said, okay, have some cornbread. I said, that stuff is terrible. There ain't nothing good in that. I've already tasted it. She said, no. It's good stuff. And I said, yeah, that's what you told me about grapefruit juice, too. And I tried that. It ain't no good. She said, just try it. And I've been eating cornbread ever since. And I miss her cornbread. That's the way God works in our life. Some of you are going through some... What side was it on? Oh, some of you were going through some bad stuff today. We wish that we could pick it up and put it over here on this side of the equation and say, I'd like to just live with good stuff. I'd like everything to go the way I want it to go. And God says, doesn't work like that. In order for the finished product to come out the way that I want it to come out, I got to mix in some things that don't taste so good. And if you try to eat it by yourself before it all gets done, you won't like it. And like Brother Leonard was talking about in Sunday school, you may get mad at me, God talking. You may not like it, and you may get mad at me. But what he says is, I know what I'm doing. It's going to be good when it gets done. Just trust me enough to let it get done. Just let it get done. And you'll see how good it will be. And so this morning, if you're about to lose hope, be of good cheer. I've heard from God. And I know he's going to do exactly what he said he would do. We have a chance to go to heaven. He has a plan for our life. And everything that's in that plan, he's going to work together for good. Let's just trust him. Father, thank you for this book. Thank you for the truth that's in it. And I pray, Father, that those that are here this morning that are going through some tough times, that you just have the Holy Spirit whisper in their ear this morning, hey, what that old preacher was saying is right. There's going to be some tough things to go through, but when God gets through with it, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. And Father, I pray for those that might be here that don't know Jesus as their Savior. I pray you'd help them understand that the only way they can go to heaven is to come through him. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by him. And so I pray, Holy Spirit, if there's just one in this room this morning that has never asked Jesus to be their Savior, this morning they would take that gift that God so freely offers, the gift of salvation, and claim it for their own. Man, woman, boy, girl, been here a lot, been here only a couple times, it doesn't matter. You offer that gift to every single person, and I pray this morning they take it. Bless the invitation. Use it as you see fit. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.